The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, sir. We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. Understood?
This is the California Penal League podcast, and I regret to inform you that I, at least, am officially putting the stamp of stink on the Cleveland Guardians. This team bites. And I have some thoughts on how I would go about making some initial fixes right off the bat, but holy cow, do the Cleveland Guardians stink right now. And it's borderline unwatchable, given that this is the worst offensive team in baseball by a wide margin and just got their asses handed to them by the second worst offensive team in baseball in the Detroit Tigers. So that's where things are at on this Monday evening when we record. That's my thoughts. I would like to get your guys' thoughts here. And I have plenty of thoughts on what to do with the offense and where my head's at in terms of some guys struggling and what to do about it. And I'll get into those here in a second, but I assume you guys are on the same page as me at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this all really goes back to the name change. I think that's probably,
oh no,
all our problems started, guys.
Oh no.
Yeah, man, this team is like, they're so unfun to watch. It is just, it's so difficult watching them bat. Like I have no hope for them offensively at all. And I'm just getting like really frustrated with the lineups that are being tried out there every day with Rosario batting second. It's just like, I don't know what we're doing. Like I don't understand. Like I thought we were all aligned with the Ramirez extension, the Jimenez extension. I thought we were all aligned that we wanted to win the division this year. We're only three games back. This division is utterly trash. The winner of the division might win 85 games this year. And if it's not us, that is just like a major indictment on this team. And I know we're going to get into a bunch of topics, but yeah, the byline, unwatchable.
I think there's nothing wrong with the offense, said no one. No, you guys have nailed it. Like, it's you pray that they can like scrape together like three hits over the course of an inning to like maybe muster like two runs, because it ain't gonna be a three run home run. Like let's like throw that notion out the book. Because the only guy who's got any semblance of power, or guys, I should say, are Jose, Bell, and Naylor. And Bell and Naylor are still kind of trying to get out of that early season funk. I have some really telling stats on Mike Zunino that I don't want to like make you too depressed on. But it's due time that my boy, and I think quickly becoming all of our boy, Brian Rocchio, come up, kick Ahmed Rosario to the curb, And
yeah.
And I'm going to take this up further because I said Mike Zunino and I skipped over to shortstop, like a terrible transition. Yeah. Bo Naylor is going to come up too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, your boy Bo.
No. Yeah.
That's definitely what I thought you were going with.
Yeah, no, well, it was a terrible transition. I apologize.
It's okay. It's okay because those are two. Well, here's the thing is like right now it's a near impossibility to improve the team from outside the organization. That's like a near impossibility at this early.
I'm calling GMs and they're not picking up. I'm like, if you guys want a bag of balls and Gabriel Arias and Zach Plesac, I'll give them to you. I'll drive them over.
Right.
That's where I wish it was more of the NBA or NFL model where it's just like,
hey, contracts.
It's week two. Let's upgrade. Who cares? Like, let's not wait till June. Like, right. I hate that you're going to wait. Like, why are you going to wait? Outfielders, right field fucking sucks. Like,
it's a void. Like, yeah. It's a void.
Get a right fielder.
It's a giant void. In right field.
It is a giant void. And I honestly, my thinking from the last episode still holds is that I'd be getting on the phone with the Rockies and saying like, give us Charlie Blackmon right now to hold down the fort in right field. That would be my
And you could probably pencil him in to be a more, at least this year or next. I mean, I think he's a free agent. Didn't we look that up and he's a free agent.
He's a free agent after this year. But he's a right fielder now in his career. Like, this is, he's a freaking right fielder. But anyway, the thing that's more baffling to me, and I understand, look, I get the notion that baseball is an incredibly long season. You're 35 games into it. You can't necessarily make every assumption right off the rip, but there are certain things that can be gleaned from this that you could say it's time to make certain moves. And the thing that is a little bit promising is that there are things the Guardians can and will do very quickly here and very soon, I would hope, that will, I think, put them on a better path for the rest of the year. Like right now, I would say Ahmed Rosario is in like extreme danger of being like DFA'd because you've got Brian Rocchio tearing the hell out of AAA and has nothing left to prove. And you cannot tell me that there isn't a better world where Brian Rocchio and Tyler Freeman and Gabriel Arias duke it out at the major league level for who's playing shortstop. You can't tell me that's any worse than what's happening right now.
But Francona said there's no one in AAA who's going to come up and save us.
And then we immediately brought people up the next
exactly.
Day. I think he has to. But the thing with Francona is,
he's playing the company line. I get it.
He always has to do that. The thing that drives me nuts is fans who take what he says like at face value all the time, where he's like, you gotta fire him because he said that. Like, he's so lost. Right. Yeah. It's like, trust me, he can't go out there and be like, fuck Ahmed Rosario.
He's like, dead to me.
Well,
he's on the roster. We gotta play him.
As mad as I am that he keeps batting him second, the positive of that is if he turns things around, then great. He turns things around, and that's just what we want. But by batting him second, you're very much highlighting how shitty he is right now to make it really easy to then get
Rocchio. Pennies on the dollar. Yeah,
like, and that's up. Possibly, too. That's a possibility, too, to say, like, look, we gave the guy every chance we could. It's May. It's going to be the middle of May. And he's got a 55 OPS plus. Like, I know he's your boy, Jose Ramirez, but, like, sorry. Like, it's the time has come.
We need guys with OPS pluses of nothing less than 85.
Also, what's Jose going to do? You signed for seven years, you fool.
Yeah, you're here forever. So, well, and also, he wasn't going to be here on next year anyway. Like, I know I've been on the path of before this season, even saying like, hey, we should maybe think about extending him. But like,
hey, and that made a ton of sense. You convinced me. You convinced me that was a good idea. And then
I did.
All the goodwill went out the window. Not with you, but with Rosario out the window these first 6 weeks of the season.
It's like, dude, you had every chance to prove that you actually did deserve maybe another year to like lock down the spot. But like, it's done. I'm over it. Brian Rocchio's here. He's the truth. And it's time to just move on. So that's a move that they're going to make. The same, and I know you've got your telling stats on Zunino. So I'll let you go into the catcher situation. But like that's one move right now where I'm like, they're going to make that move quick. And that could certainly help. But like the funny thing is like, oh man, well, like, great. We could bat him, Jimenez second. You mean him and his 218 batting average and 295 OBP? Great. Or it's like Miles Straw is hitting 248 all of a sudden. And it's just like, God, man, like nobody's hitting. So it makes it really difficult to say.
Rocchio. If you put Rocchio, bat him second.
Dude, you know, you could screw it. Because you know what would be a really interesting lineup is if like you had Rocchio just batting second. And then like the bottom of the order was just some mix of like Brennan some days, Arias and Tyler Freeman. And it was just like, let them figure it out because you're going to have to, because how much worse could it be? How much worse could it be?
Well, the thing is though,
and here, actually, you know what,
if you,
you want to get really weird,
Rocchio,
sorry.
I was going to say real quick, if you bring up Rocchio and he's like moderately successful, like not, you know, if he's batting, you know, 250, 260, he's doing his thing. You bring up Naylor or somehow Zunino turns things around. I find that very unlikely. And his defense is putrid. Then when you get to the trade deadline, you really only have one glaring need, and that's right field. And then you can just get a masher for right field. Like, because you're set pretty much everywhere else. The thing is, right now, you can't really do that because then it's like, what if we give up all of our capital to get a right fielder, but then Rocchio doesn't work out or there's an injury. And then it's like, oh shit. Like we don't know where we need to like use our capital. Granted, I would have loved us to use it for Reynolds, but that ship has probably sailed.
No, that ship has certainly sailed.
Yeah.
Now that he's signed that extension. Yeah. That unfortunately is a ship that has gone down for the Guardians, but
there's a couple guys in St. Louis that I've turned my attention to.
But you keep trying to get me on St. Louis, but I don't know, man.
Well, let me just rattle off a few names. Let me, if I can bring them up. I was going to throw something completely crazy out there, but it doesn't make any sense. But I was going to say you could even, if you needed to, and say like a situation against a left-handed pitcher where you want Josh Naylor's bat nowhere to be found, you could even have Tyler Freeman be your DH.
Mm-hmm.
There's no power in that, but at least a dude can hit.
Yeah, there's no, you've got two, they keep, and I know because he's 23, it's like, okay, I get it. And he's defensively like a wizard at short. And they're like, we got to get Arias more at bats. It's like, do you? Because he hasn't done shit to make me think he deserves it. And it's he hasn't really played a lot.
I don't care if he's the next 10 gold glove, you know, he wins the next 10 gold gloves. If the dude's going to hit 280 or 180 all season, 280, my goodness. If the dude's going to hit 180 all season, no thank you. You have to provide something.
Anything. And he, other than that, like you look at his defense from the other day where he had that like double play turn with Jimenez, where you're like, oh, okay, that's why. like that's why they want him there. But then they're like, well, actually, he's a right fielder now. And it's like, what? What are you talking about?
I said this to another group, and I said, isn't it funny that Gabriel Arias has been moved around the diamond in an effort to try to get him more at bats?
But not a Rosario.
Not even Rosario. But my point being with Arias is he's been moved around the diamond to get more at bats, and yet he has not produced. He still hasn't produced.
Yeah. It's like, okay, great. Like, the at bats are not good. So can Tyler Freeman get a chance, please? Yeah. I'm not saying Tyler Freeman's the truth. And I'm not saying that even I like Brian Rocchio and I think I just called him the truth, but like, it's like, what? I don't really know what the thought process is there, where it's like, suddenly Gabriel Arias, you think he's like this savior? And it's really bizarre to me that you are, you know, I know you're trying to get him the truest look. And maybe this is what you were saying, Fabs, where it's like, look, we're going to give him the look so that way we can definitively tell everybody he's a bust. Right. And maybe he can try and stick on as your 26th man and provide the defensive,
In that process, value. They're going to torpedo any trade value.
But you know what? The trade value at this point, it's like, I don't even give a shit. Because the other thing is like, Brian Rocchio, by all accounts, isn't he like fantastic defensively as well?
Yeah. He's not so as good as Gabriel Arias, but he's like, he's better than, he's but, from every comp that I've heard is Lindor.
Okay.
And they're like,
I would take that. Like, does he stay awake though?
I think he can.
Yeah.
We'll make sure he's got some coffee in his locker.
I mean, guess what? Like, even if he has a little bit of struggles defensively, like one Ahmed Rosario has plenty of struggles defensively, but you can also move Jimenez to shortstop.
Yeah.
And he can play second because Jimenez's natural position is shortstop.
Yeah. Dude was making plays in the WBC where you're like, oh, snap. We're wasting him at second.
Jimenez, like, I'm less worried about his struggles because he's had some cold streaks in the past and, like, gets it sorted out. But at least he does a bunch of stuff defensively where I'm like, at least one side of the ball, you're providing extreme value right now.
Yes.
Where we're just struggling immensely.
Right. Yeah, it makes it really hard when you watch, like, Rosario. He doesn't even boot balls, but he'll just, like, throw it, like, late or up the line.
Yeah.
Or it's just like, what the hell is going on? Like
he does a lot of goofy stuff.
It's impossible to justify. It's getting impossible to justify the existence of him on this team. It's like turning into like the Framil Reyes situation where you're just like, this dude cannot be here anymore because it makes no sense and it's dragging down the team.
Well, hey, let's put our collective minds together and hope for that. It worked with Zach Plesac.
It did, yeah.
We did manifest that.
The encapsulation of like what Rosario is happened tonight. The bases were loaded. Miguel Cabrera came up to bat. There were two outs. And Rosario made a great, like, you know, backhanded grab. But the ball wasn't a trickle. It came at like a good speed. And it's Cabrera, who's like 40 years old and not fast at all. And he rushes to throw. And thankfully, Fry comes off the bag, catches it, and then just like tags Cabrera, who's still 10 feet from the bag. But he almost sailed the ball past him when he just like
anybody not aware else of running the situation.
Yeah, you're right. Anybody else running is safe.
Lucky.
But you're just not aware of the situation at all to like plant your feet and throw when you have a chance to. I understand if you have, you know, like Miles Straw running up the line, but like you didn't.
No, it's Miguel Cabrera, who is slower than offensive linemen in the NFL.
He is so slow.
Right.
Like it's painful to watch him. But quickly, the names that I was going to throw out from St. Louis. I'll go in order of what I would think would be realistic. Starting with Tyler O'Neill.
That is realistic, actually. Because they want him out of there.
He's been struggling. But I think he'd be an upgrade for us. Then I'm going to go with, I think, Dylan Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice breakout season last year as a rookie. And follow that, lastly, by Alec Burleson. Any one of those three guys is an upgrade of what we have currently in right field. And that is not a slight to Will Brennan. I like Will Brennan a lot. I think he's a great fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
And I know we had this conversation last year, last offseason, with Oscar Mercado. But I honestly think Will Brennan is the quintessential fourth outfielder that you want on any team.
Yeah.
and right. let him start 3-4 games a week. Just circle him through the outfield. But we need another. We need another bat in the outfield,
dude. Would I be like?
And it could be a guy who hits 250, but has 25. Like that's what we were saying before we jumped on and started recording. Give me a guy who hits 225, who hits 25 to 30 home runs. I don't care if he's 240, 250.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I actually don't know how you, there is a way you could do this, but I don't think this is the way anybody would expect or want it. If you're on the Cardinals, they suck.
I'm just throwing them out. I'm just throwing them out there because they are dead in the water right now.
You know who's on that team with a contract through next year, who's 35 years old. Who's a big bat?
Yeah.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
And you could conceivably, and now you'd have two lefties in Naylor and Brennan, but you could say like, F it. We're going to go Paul Goldschmidt at first base, but with him DHing / there being this crazy triumvirate of like Goldschmidt, Naylor, and Bell playing first and DH, and then Naylor could like occasionally shift into right field if they were comfortable enough with it. Because here's the other thing. I like Josh Naylor. He's also hitting 202. So yeah. it's not like, and he can't hit lefties. So no. He cannot hit lefties at all. It's not like he's earning all this playing time at the moment. So it's like, if you really wanted to, you could say, F this, we're going to get a guy who has no utility to the Cardinals because he's 35 and they suck. And I mean, I don't know. It's a vet who could add all that value and presence to the middle of the lineup and that experience. And if you wanted to just swing for the fences and just say, look, for 2 years, we're going to try and go for it. And, you know, these young guys are kind of... We're still the youngest team in baseball, and that there's going to be growing pains, but they could certainly learn from a guy like Goldschmidt, and they could learn with a little more adversity and say, look, you'll get another chance here. But like right now you're not doing anything. So we're going to bring in like, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. I'm looking for moves.
Not a terrible idea.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
I'm just pulling up his numbers and 321 with 7 home runs.
409 OBP, baby. He's just a baller. He won the MVP last year.
Like, you know what? Yeah, fuck it. Like,
I mean, seriously. Right? It's just like, it's like, well, Naylor's your first baseman. It's like, well, really? I mean, like, what's he doing? That's
says
so
who?
Great.
Says who?
Right.
Where's that carved into stone?
Right.
He's got
also like, Naylor can go play. He can go play right field. I don't care if you're bad. You like whatever. Just
he
right
figure before it out. Before the injury, he was a serviceable right fielder.
Yeah.
Now I wouldn't say everyday right fielder, but he was a serviceable platoon right fielder.
And you know, a 61 OPS plus doesn't earn you anything. It doesn't mean anything for your place on the team. Everybody's. Aside from, like, I would say Jose Ramirez and Kwan and, like, Josh Bell because we signed his ass.
Jimenez.
Jimenez, Kwan, and Ramirez. I mean, and maybe Bell because we signed him and, like, he's doing okay. Nobody's really safe. So, and the other guy, too, that I'd start looking at as the Cubs probably start to fall out of it is Cody Bellinger. To say,
yeah, but that's only like a one-year deal.
But
whatever,
maybe
that's fine.
Fuck it.
You know, honestly, you know who I would like from the Cubs is Ian Happ.
Oh, we've talked about him. I like him a lot. Yeah.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff. There's lots of like things out there that they could do that I think would improve them. They've got to stay in it though. And
well,
you know,
into the overarching point. There's things they can do internally. Right. It might cost you somebody on the 40-man roster, and that's about all.
Oh, well.
there is dead weight on that 40-man roster.
They have to be willing to be flexible And you know, oh, there's hardly any prospects in this organization that should be untouchable. Like, it just, are we trying to win a championship or not? I really do question what we're doing sometimes, where we can actively get better. And, you know, like, if we get to June and Rosario hasn't improved and he's still on the, like, he's still starting and still in the two hole, like, that's like,
we riot. We riot.
That would be insanity to me.
I'll give the team the benefit of the doubt here. And I don't think that would necessarily be the case. I would be shocked if that happened. I think they're smart. They're smart. I don't think they anticipated this type of start. And that's tough because now you're kind of reeling a little bit. But look, they pretty quickly, well, I think it was like August, but they like, the writing was on the wall with Fran Mil Reyes, and they dumped him. And Oscar Gonzalez, they gave him a few at bats and were like, oh, forget this. And they sent him down. So, I mean, I think they are fairly aggressive. Yeah. But
I will say this. Like, over the last year, and now part of this is due to the way that all these prospects are coming up too. They have to be aggressive in some of these moves. They can't sit and wait around for a Franmil, an Oscar Gonzalez to kind of figure it out for a year. Oscar Gonzalez might be a bad example because there's, you know, no real outfield prospects coming up, but still they have guys that they need to get major league at bats, and they'll get creative, as we've discovered with Arias playing, you know, every position imaginable outside of pitcher and catcher.
Yeah, right. Well, speaking of catcher, what are your fun stats on Zunino that make everybody feel even more depressed?
He sucks. That's it. He's the worst.
I said he's less useful than Triskiewicz Mesmer, the hot dog loving catcher from Angels in the Outfield.
I was wondering. I was like, "What deep cut is that?"
Deep dive. That's a deep dive.
Who is that?
No, but in all seriousness, Zunino has been, and I know we were talking about this prior to recording. The defense is atrocious. It is god awful. I have no numbers to back it up. Fabs looked up some of the framing numbers last week, and it kind of solidified that. But the defense is so bad with Mike Zunino that I think pitchers are worried when they go out there, when he's catching them. And I think that's playing a part. And offensively, it's not much better. In his last 16 starts, he's 6 for 50. That's a 120 average.
He's also striking out about 50. He's striking out literally 50% of the time.
No. It's closer. In those last 16 games, it's just a hair under 60% of the time. He has 29 strikeouts in these 50 at-bats.
Yeah, that shoulder's not coming back.
To 7 walks, too, by the way. He does have 2 doubles and a home run in that stretch with 3 RBIs.
Yeah, he's got he's got the third highest OPS plus still. That's sick. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean,
I'm just done with him. I'm just done with him overall because he's a liability behind the plate.
Yep.
There's no doubt in my mind that he's cost us at least 3 games. Defensively.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another one where you like look at it and you say, like, catching is a different type of position. It's a different beast. But like, if he was your backup, how much worse could Bo Naylor be? I mean, truly. it cannot be. You think Bo Naylor can't hit 200? I mean, maybe. Maybe. But, like, I think I'll roll the dice and see.
Yeah, I'll roll the dice on him hitting, like, 160 or higher and just being much better at throwing people out and being good at defense behind the plate. Like, I'm absolutely fine doing that.
Like, being league average, being league average defensively would be an upgrade.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. Yes.
Yeah. I just pulled up something that I know we haven't talked about it, but it's. I think it's worth noting. Between the two guys that we're really kind of putting on trial right now, Ahmed Rosario and Mike Zunino. That's $14 million worth of salary we have between the two. Just under 14, I should say. It's 13.
You know what's funny? What's funny, too, is they're two of the older guys on the roster.
Yeah.
And Zunino's 32 and Ahmed Rosario's 27. And if you went with, like, if you were to move on from them this year, you'd immediately you'd become the youngest team in you'd like guarantee that you're the youngest team in baseball again next year.
Oh yeah.
Like
we'd probably be younger than like at least like a double A team. There's probably one double A team that would be older than us.
That is one thing I try to keep in mind sometimes when I try to keep it in perspective. And I understand it's a little different. It's like this team really could contend. But again, I think that's why like I gravitate towards like looking at veteran guys that they could pick up.
The more I think about that Goldschmidt idea, there's really no harm in that.
Why not?
Please do it.
He's still producing.
Dude, tomorrow, I don't care who you take from the farm system. Give me him. Give me Cody Bellinger. I'm fine. And then Rocchio can come up and like, I guarantee you we'll go on a heat. Like, we will win the division.
You'd win the division. If you like just went
Daniel
for
Espino,
it.
Zach Plesac, Ahmad Rosario.
And Gabriel Arias and Mike Zunino.
Seriously, you could get you
all
could
for the all Cardinals. Those, like,
yeah, you just yeah. do a 5-for-2 swap. Like, who cares? Literally, none of those guys are going to be on this. That's the thing that's annoying. It's like none of those guys, if that could get the deal done, none of those guys are going to be on this team in 3 years.
Well, so like, you know what? Like, what this is, it's really against the MO of the franchise, but I had to take a moment earlier this week. I thought we had made the deal with the Rays, but it was actually the White Sox. Remember when we had Cesar Hernandez and we traded him?
Oh my God, yes.
For Pilkington, mm-hmm. who's now been DFA'd and we traded for cash. That's what those moves can do. They can get you a lottery ticket type guy from AA.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he pans out to be something. Maybe he's not anything.
Right.
I'd roll the dice with something like that too.
Well, they're currently getting burned on that the other way in that deal that they made with the Rays where they sent them Junior Caminero.
Oh yeah.
Because he's that like one hurt. Tearing it up. But again, also he's only in like high A. So yeah. Who really knows?
High A, and he doesn't seem to have like I mean, he's got some pop for high A, but like, what's it going to look like when he comes up to the big leagues, you know?
And but that's like the thing is like, if you're in, like, look at like the team I like to go back to is the Nationals from like 2019. They were when they, and I know that they like completely have gone into oblivion because they had to trade everybody, but like, they were in 2019 the oldest team in baseball. And they mm-hmm. had, let me just look it up here. I should have had this ready to go, but let me just look at this roster. So they were the oldest team in baseball. They won 93 games and they won the World Series. As we all know, they're some of the names that they had on this roster of, guys was like, they had Brian Dozier who was 32. They had, Adam Eaton, who was 30 at the time. They had Howie Kendrick, who was 35 years old that year and hit 344 in 334 at bats. They had Ryan Zimmerman, Gerardo Parra, Kurt Kazuki, Asdrubal Cabrera, all dudes over 30 years old. Gerardo Parra hit 250. Zimmerman hit 257. Asdrubal 323 that year.
So if I hear what you're saying correctly, we're going to win the World Series in 2027.
What I'm saying is, yes, that, but also, like, if you just add in, like, and then sprinkled in, there was like a 20-year-old Juan Soto and a 26-year-old Trey Turner. Yeah. And it's like, if you just, like, they can very easily go out and get, like, a Paul Goldschmidt this year, or,
well, and that's
a Charlie Blackman.
That was part of why I liked the Josh Bell signing so much. It was a low risk, you know, and I'll admit it. The Mike Zunino signing grew on me too, especially as we were going through spring training. Initially, I was kind of like, eh, whatever. Yeah, if he rebounds, awesome. And I guess maybe that's why I'm also frustrated is, like Fabs just said, Zanino's not here next year. Ahmed's not here next year. We can walk away from those guys. And part of the reason I like those deals is because they were such small commitments in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
There's no harm saying we messed up.
Well, that's that. Yeah. Tons of teams do that where they bring in like that. Those are lottery tickets in another way where it's like, let's bring in like a few 34-year-olds and just see who sticks around. You know, I mean, and occasionally you'll get like, I don't think Mike Napoli was that old, but like you'll get like a Mike Napoli season, you know.
He was pushing 30, I thought. I thought he was like 29 or 30.
So, you know.
But no, yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, everybody's favorite home run hitter, Rajay Davis, was in his 30s.
Yeah. And I think they'll get there. I think they just knew. I mean, you know, I think they knew they had a young team still, and I think that they did the right things still into the going into the season. But and I actually do think that they'll do the right things coming up. I think it's just like one of those things where it's like they're gonna pull the trigger. It's just
very frustrating when you're sitting three games back, and there's been a number of ball games where, and I know I've said this before, you know, you're gonna win some that you're not supposed to win, you're gonna lose some that you're supposed to win. In the end, it all evens out. Right now, it seems like we've been on the short end of that stick right now.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, but then you look at like that twin series where it was like, holy God, they won that series. And I think they scored like, what was the Saturday game? Like 4-3. I think so. They scored six runs in two games and won them both. And it was like, okay, you know, so, God. Yeah, well, it's just hard to watch. Like when it's that hard to watch, that's when you get a little antsy and you're like, okay, like clearly something's not working here. This team just doesn't have the juice, you know?
Well, Fabs, do you want to, you had some interesting figures too.
Yeah. So here's my, and I was just looking up like just a list of people, Gio Ursula. Oh God, I wish I remembered any of the other names.
Yandy Diaz.
Yandy was on that list of just this troubling trend. Like we can all, you know, the thing we do well, we get pitchers, we increase their velocity. We're a pitching factory. It's amazing. It's kind of the antithesis of what happened in the 90s where we were a hitting factory. And I'd really love for us to just kind of have both of those factories open at the same time. In terms of developing like power hitters. I just wanted to look at the last several years. And this is where a place where we're really struggling. So in 2022, we had one hitter who hit over 25 home runs, who was an internal, like he grew within the farm system, and one who hit over 20. So that's Naylor and Jose. In 2021, we had,
well, Naylor was an external.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Sorry. Naylor's external. 2021, we had two who hit over 30, but none that hit 20. one internal, one external. 2019, 230 home run hitters, both internal Jose and Lindor, and 220 home run hitters. And that was when Santana was mashing for us too. But so the thing that's happening here is, though, we were talking about it earlier. So you can have, like, I wish we had a roster that was more two guys that were 220, 230 hitters, but they were going to knock the cover off the ball, 30 home runs. Then you have your one, like, steady Eddie who can maybe get you over 30 with Jose, but he's going to give you a little bit of everything. And then the rest of your lineup is largely, like, high contact, hot, smart, extending plate appearances, utilizing a lot of pitches. The point is, we have not done a good job of developing multiple hitters, especially power hitters. And when we do get guys that we trade for, they tend to struggle with us like pretty much immediately. Franmil had one good year, and he was one of those 30 home run guys.
That 19 season.
But then he struggled immediately after that. We are so bad at developing hitters. It is just, it is so weird that we have this giant blind spot. And, you know, we haven't really, we have one or two guys, Santana, Jose, Lindor, the last like 15 years that we can claim as like power bats that we truly developed. And it's just like, so that leads me to my larger point with our prospects. I have no faith that Junkinsy Noel and George Valera are going to be anything. In terms of hitting, they might be once they leave our system, but like, I just don't have faith that they're going to do anything at the major league level with us. I hope I'm wrong. I would love if they are the next, you know, Bell and Ramirez that just come along and say, oh damn, like we have some dudes who can jack home runs now. This is incredible. But just our track record for the last 15 years doesn't lead me to believe that at all. So I think trade them, get a very highly regarded, you don't even need to trade those guys to get a guy like Paul Goldschmidt. Like we can get a dude who won the MVP a year ago for pennies on the dollar. And I say do that. I maybe keep one of them. And if you can keep them and then get a Goldschmidt, like that's amazing. That's the best of both worlds. But I just don't have faith, unfortunately, that we're going to have any power hitters anytime soon, because those are the two we've been hearing about for the last like 3 years. But they both have massive flaws in their game. And so, like, I don't know. I'm all about getting rid of our prospects at this point.
Well, they're prospects for a reason. And until they do anything, they still are prospects. Good or bad. You know, do something good or bad. The more I've looked at both of their games, I do have more concerns.
Yeah, I'm a little. I mean, not. It's not fair to Valera necessarily this year because he's.
Yeah, he got hurt. Yeah,
but I do get when I look at guys who strike out like 30% of the time in the minors, that gives me pause.
Yeah, yeah. If you're striking out that much against those pitchers, no offense to those players, but many of them don't have long careers in the major leagues. Simple fact.
Or if you're like struggling against stuff. That
talent, I don't have much hope for you. You know, at some point you are who you are as far as a player goes. You know? Yeah, you can hit the 400, you know, 50-foot tape measure home runs, but if you're striking out 40% of the time, how much good are you truly doing for the team?
Right.
It is concerning.
But at the same time, you know, it's like, would you, it's like, think of it this way. And I want to get into the pitching here with like the last 20 minutes we've got here. But like, think of it this way. It's like, let's just say for the sake of argument, you could walk out of this season at this, like even before this trade deadline, let's say you can walk out with Ian Happ and Paul Goldschmidt over the course of like the next 2 years. You're telling me, and maybe it takes trading a Valero or a Noel.
Sign me
it's
up.
Like you're telling me you wouldn't take that for 2 years to just roll the dice and say, F it, let's try.
Sign me up. Yes. I would, if as long as I'm not giving up both, I would like to try to keep one around and pray that they
you choose wisely. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah. But
you would do that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we'll have the draft coming up here soon too. We're what? About a month and a half away. You know what I'd love to see him do? And you threw out some names, Steve, a couple college,
yeah, I had a couple guys that I
college I was corner looking at. Corner type dudes, you know, corner mm-hmm. and first base. I would love, and I don't know why they don't do this. I understand it's their philosophy to go more international signings for the position players, but there's some bats, especially in this draft, that all these scouts in the mid 20s where the Guardians will be drafting, there's a lot of guys who are bat to ball type dudes who a lot of scouts think could develop some pop. And I'm not asking for much. Give me a corner outfielder or first baseman type who hits me 265 with 20 to 25 home run power. And let's fast track to that type of prospect. Let's get them in at the draft and let's get his butt into Lake County.
Right.
I don't know if that exists out there, but from what I've been reading on this draft, there's a handful of bats who theoretically could fit that mold. But that's a topic we can cover later.
Well, it's not like it's not the worst thing to maybe 1 year roll the dice on that, too.
And if you're going to do like it, do it this year. Do it this year.
Falls
show
you.
Me, yeah. Show me the outfielders in the system that we're like, ooh, can't take playing time away from him. He's right. Too valuable. You know, can't take playing time away from that first baseman. He's too valuable. It's a very short list.
Mm.
It's a very, very short list. The only outfielder that comes to mind outside of, I mean, John Kenzie, I'm going to probably more classify as a first baseman DH type. But outside of Valara, the only outfielder that I'm aware of, and maybe someone can correct me, is Lamp with the Captains. But he's more of a Will Brennan, Stephen Kwan type, high average.
So is Petey Halpin. Yeah,
I was looking at his numbers, and they're not doing it for me, man. He's hitting like 160, yeah. I thought.
He's hitting 240 in Akron now. So
oh okay.
But like,
maybe I was looking at it as like last week or something. Then,
yeah, he maybe had a good week. But like, I mean, yeah, he's a third round pick, and he's got a decent on base. But I mean,
you would expect your third round pick to do something.
I mean, it would be nice to hit more than 9 career homers.
God, he's another guy who doesn't have any pop.
Yep, exactly. It's just like, it'd be nice to have one prospect that you could say, like, and I know it's Valera's technically the one, but it's like, I see a lot of holes in him, and he's got a long swing, and I don't see it going well in the majors. But that's just, I mean, that could just be me, and I'd love to be proven wrong.
I hope you are. I really hope you are.
Yeah, me too.
And you'll be the first to admit. I know it. You'll be the first to admit. I got that one wrong. Boy, was I glad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love it. Yeah. If he's like a rookie of the year candidate, it's like, sweet. I would love to eat crow. Love it.
Yes.
But anyway, all right. So but the silver lining here,
there
with all
is
this.
Some good news. There is some good news after 45 minutes of us just pissing and moaning.
Yep.
There is some good news. And if you, well, let me back up. Outside of today's game against the Tigers, the first game of the series, the starting pitching going dating back to the 26th of April, that last game against the Rockies, has been quite exceptional. They've really seemed to solidify the rotation. Now, it's going to get muddy when McKenzie and Savali come back.
Yeah.
But in the last 10 games, again, excluding tonight's game, the Guardians are 5-5. The ERA of the starting pitchers is 2.95.
Ooh, I like that.
The WHIP is below 1. It's at 0.98. Now, our favorite whipping boy in the pitching rotation, who's no longer on the
whipping
on the team, Zach Plesac, he did make a start in that stretch. And it was an outlier. Because if you remove his start, which I know you can't, but if you're going to exclude that out of the other 10 starts, every pitcher went at least 5 innings and allowed 2 or fewer runs. Let me repeat that.
Plesac is such a has, man.
Plesac went 3 1/3 innings and gave up 5 earned runs in a loss to the Red Sox. If you take his start out, you're now talking about a 9-game stretch where the starting rotation had a 2.32 ERA, a 4.09 strikeout to walk ratio, almost 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, and a WHIP of 0.88.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because I know it's still very early. We have 3 rookies in that rotation right now.
Yeah.
And Peyton Battenfield, Tanner Bibee, and Logan T. Allen. And I can make the argument that all 3 belong in the starting rotation.
Yeah, I think the way that I see it,
I don't think all 3 will be, but I can make the argument.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing they'll do, and I totally get, like, I get the notion of being like, let's just figure it out one guy at a time. So McKenzie's coming back soon, next couple weeks. That will push Peyton Battenfield to the bullpen, no doubt.
Or to Columbus. Like, or to Columbus.
It's all good. I don't necessarily think.
Now, and I want to say this. This is why I'm saying Columbus versus the bullpen. We also haven't mentioned, also within the system, is Xavion Curry and Hunter Gaddis. Two guys who were former starting pitchers who are making the transition to the bullpen this year and can kind of be that long guy. Yeah. And I kind of think, or at least my thought is, they could be a in case of emergency starter on the big league roster. And and a handful of starts for either one of those guys, totally fine with. Piggyback the two if they're on the roster at the same time too. I don't care. I think they're through an order once, twice, sure. Once you start getting to that third,
Cal was starting to like make us all anxious. His last two starts have been very amazing. Cal has been
phenomenal the last two starts.
So I think Cal has definitely solidified his place for the time being.
He's obviously pitching deeper. Cal's pitching like a guy who got the memo. Like, if I don't pick this up, I'm going to be in Columbus with Zach.
he started seeing what the young guys were doing. He's like, oh no, I got to try now. Okay,
But the awesome thing,
yeah.
Sign me up.
Oh my God, yeah. And the awesome thing with all this, though, is I think now, and the young guys are going to have some outings where the command's not there. Bibee had that today. Yeah. I think they all have like this stuff. And I think even with Bibee not doing great today, he only gave up 4 runs. Like that, you still should theoretically be in a game when your starting pitcher gives up 4 runs. Our offense right now, no, that's insurmountable. But the good thing is we have a collection of, like, once McKenzie's healthy, Savali's healthy, you have a collection of 7 guys where I feel pretty good about our odds of winning on that, like, on any given day when they're pitching. And it wasn't like this, 3 weeks ago before the young guys came up and we had all the injuries. I felt good literally on Bieber, and I wasn't feeling super optimistic when Cal took the mound. I was just kind of like, well, hopefully we get the win when Bieber's pitching, because I don't feel good about the rest of these guys. So I think if the offense can figure its stuff out, I do think we are going to be fine.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, the bullpen has sort of started to solidify itself, where Clase is thrown a little harder. Henches is back. Yes. You know, that does make me feel a little bit better about the bullpen. And then the rotation. Yeah, I mean, it's like, dude, I mean, assuming all is the same health wise, it's going to be really interesting when Savali comes back to say, like, what do you do? Like, right. Does Savali, to keep him healthy, do you move Savali to the bullpen? I don't know. He's not really ever been that. So, like, that's hard to say. But, like, I sure as hell don't know. Unless he implodes, I don't think you can send Bibee back. The only thing about Bibee is that what I've noticed in a couple starts is that he does seem to lose control of that fastball a little bit. And I do wonder if they'll look at that and be like, hey, look, buddy, like, you're going to be back, but, like, we need to sort that out. So I could actually see Bibee going back down.
Yeah. And that's not any indictment on, I would say, on Battenfield, Bibee, or Allen.
Not at all.
Because here's the other thing, too. I don't think any one of them has pitched more than like 120 innings in a season.
That's that, too. Right.
So there's going to come a time in July if, let's say everything, you know, let's say offense starts clicking, we start winning some series, we, you know, things are going right, right? And it's a dogfight between us and the Twins. Well, you're going to have to sit those guys. You're probably going to have to skip a start or two. So having 7-8 guys deep is a great thing.
It's a great thing.
And he's only pitched twice in Columbus, but Gavin Williams is dominating AAA.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He is.
Like, there's a chance that he comes up in August, too, for a spot starter, too.
And that just makes it all, doesn't that just make it all the more frustrating about the offense right now?
And that is,
like, I want to just scream.
Not only does it make it, and I was going to kind of, you stole my thunder. I had a few other things I wanted to kind of touch on, too, but screw it. Let's jump to this. That is the frustrating part in all of it. Is that if you really are going to distill it down, you know, there's two guys on the roster making less than $14 million that are kind of holding us hostage, or at least theoretically holding us hostage, without giving the younger guys playing time that I think it could contribute. And then you are having this starting pitching sorting itself out, and they're doing, if your starting pitcher gives up two runs, you should be in that game. There's no reason you should be losing those games.
Right.
And especially with how the bullpen has been pitching as of late, you should be winning those games. No, there's no excuse for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Question. Let's say they bring Williams up. What do the young guys are just, Bibee's continuing to be dominant.
Yeah.
Allen, McKenzie's back in form. Gavin Williams comes up a couple of times. They have some rain out, some weird weather. It's like, let's just give him a chance.
Sure.
He's just missile throwing. You trade Bieber. Year and a half.
Not if you're in it. Not if you're in it. Like, okay. the only thing I would say is if they fell out of it completely this year, I would entertain the thought at this deadline. But they'd have to be like grotesquely falling apart, where it's like, it's not happening this year. And I guess that'd be pretty bad in the Central.
I'll take it a step further. My answer is, it depends. If I get some kind of
just like
Julio Rodriguez for Shane Bieber deal proposed. See you, Shane.
Would you do it for Juan Soto?
No, I wouldn't actually.
I would need a lot of Because what's his contract looking like?
He is same as Bieber. He is, I mean, he makes a lot, but he has years.
He's only got the two years left. Okay, I couldn't remember.
2 years left.
Yeah, I don't think I do that unless it's like, Juan Soto's coming, and all of a sudden we've tacked on 2 years at $25 million.
Then yeah, maybe. That.
Then maybe, but otherwise, no.
Okay.
I mean, because
I would certainly hear anybody out if any team wanted to. If they're under 500, they're going to be getting calls, and it would be like, very enticing to see who would be willing to, you know.
See, I agree. My thing is though, like, if you have five starting pitchers that are in the scenario I laid out, where it's like, oh, we have a bunch of great arms, like, this is fine. What does Bieber give you though? Like, he's awesome, but like, what is he like? How are our odds better to win a World Series? They're not with this offense. Like, we don't have the offense to win a World Series. You're not going to win games. You're not going to like have every starting pitcher go seven innings, bullpen be locked down for 4 weeks straight. You're giving up one or two runs, and then you're squeaking out two or three runs. Like, that's not a recipe to beat any of the top teams in the AL at all.
I think I would also, well, my one. So yes. So in that scenario, we would be left with a lot of twos and threes, which we've said before. That's not bad. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say that Bieber does give you is, and I know is, you know, his, some of the advanced metrics might beg to differ this, but he's been there. He has that.
That's fair.
Ace.
No, it's yeah.
His wisdom tells you. Yeah. And I like that. I like that, having that peace of mind.
Right.
Because
the only other guy who like you can even trust, and he only has one start, is McKenzie. He looked great and unrattled when he pitched. Like, he looked awesome.
And as much as I love McKenzie, he has been battling injuries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Savali. I like him too, but he has been battling injuries here lately. And one of your best attributes is availability. And if you're not available, that sucks. That's hard.
Right.
It's hard to justify that. I think Bybee, I think Williams, I think Allen. There's a couple other guys that we haven't even mentioned either. Who's the other lefty right now? He escapes my mind. Joey Cantillo.
Oh God. Oh, yeah. He's tearing it up as well.
Yeah. God.
I would like to see another guy or two take that next step.
Did we get him the Padres?
Yes.
That was the Mike Clevenger deal.
Oh, you know, he's going to be so good.
Yeah. No, I'd like to see him take the next leap. I would like to see another, you know, I'd like to see maybe one of these guys we drafted a couple years back, take another leap. And I think there will be some guy that come mid-July, we're like, oh, we were sleeping on that dude. Like, that dude was on no one's radar. And look at us now. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That always makes this hypothetical trade a little bit more easier to swallow too.
I am very curious to see. I would be very, very curious to see what trading Shane Bieber would look like with like another full year on his deal to a team, what they'd be willing to offer for that. That would be utterly compelling to me.
Well, and the one thing that we do need to bring up too is, and I know we're, you know, we don't want to dive into this probably today, but I sent you guys that list of all the free agents in his class.
That was interesting when you sent that to us. There were so many guys in that class.
It is not looking so good for Mr. Bieber to get
monetarily
getting paid. Like, I mean, I just pulled it up. quickly, Walker Buehler, Corbin Burns, Garrett Cole has an opt-out, Cueto, Evaldi, Max Fried, Domingo Herman, who's killing us lately, Tyler Glass now. Then you go down to, I mean, then you're kind of like down another another rung. Scherzer's in there. Verlander's got a vesting option. I missed those guys. Oh, Brandon Woodruff. Woodruff.
Mm-hmm.
Pablo Lopez. Lance Lynn. Kluber.
And these are all free agents in 25.
Before the 25 season. Following the 24 season, yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. After like, 24, yeah.
Now, some of the Eric Lauer, I mean, some of these guys aren't going to get paid. Like, they're just not. Like, they're quality pitchers, but they're not going to get paid at this point in their career. But that's a lot of competition for the money.
Right. Yeah.
And I know, I mean, again, we can spend more time on it in another episode. Ugh. I don't know if I'd want to be going out as a free agent then.
Yeah, it would be nice to be locked up and comfortable.
Even 2 more years. Even if we gave him a, say something like 27 mil a year for 2 free agent years plus 20 for next. Talking $74 million.
Right.
Over 3 years. I don't know. Again, another topic for another day.
Yeah.
But the pitching does look good right now.
Yes. Yeah. It's the silver lining, as you said. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Let's get to our pitch clock question, since we've
perfect.
Since we've gone into our gripes and our pissing and moaning, as Chris said, for an hour now.
We had a lot of problem. We had a lot of problems with a lot of people, and they heard about it.
Yes, they did, and we're going to do it again next week.
All right. So I have the pitch clock question. I also have a trivia question for you guys afterward. Let's see if I have a fun little nugget I read online. All right. Here's the question. Who wants to go first? I'll read the question first, but who wants to go first?
I'll go.
All right. So we are getting about 20% into the season. Revise your win total prediction and why.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to go with 86. I still think we can win the division. But like you said, this division is terrible. I saw some stats where the three bottom teams before the Tigers got hot were all on pace for over 100 losses. So 86.
Perfect. 16 seconds. Great job. All right, Steve, tell me when you're ready. Okay. And go.
I think I'm going to go 83 wins. This reeks to me a lot like the years of like 2014 and 15 before they put it all together. And they kind of had to fail for a little bit and be around 500. So I'm going to go like 83.
Just made it. 19.96.
I had 19.5.
Oh, my God. Oh, you did?
I think that's the closest we've ever gotten.
That is the closest.
All right.
All right.
Fabs, that's right? The record. I'll give you a quick see count. If somebody can beat that. If somebody can get it to like, we got to get somebody to that go 19.9.
So stressful. That's so stressful.
All right. Fabs, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Go.
84 wins. I think they can win the division with 84 wins, though, because it's that bad. I agree. We saw way more regression than we thought, but the positives, lots of young, great pitching. And I think we're going to get like a Rocchio, Bo Naylor, and 84.
18.
Okay.
Nice.
I got nervous that I went over.
I thought you were about to say, yeah, I thought you were about to say, like, yeah. one more thing.
I was like, oh, Babs is done.
Yeah, you got, yeah, cut it off.
You said something before this trivia question. You did say something that we should discuss again, not today, but regression. I think maybe we might have been overlooking some regression.
Well, if and you I roll think the
next
tape,
couple of weeks, I think the next couple of weeks are going to be really telling. Is this a regression? Was there a little bit of a lull or I just think we're going to have more clarity, I guess, is my point.
Yeah.
All right. What's that trivia question?
Okay. This pitcher threw only one pitch, but had a 2 WAR. Name that pitcher.
I know this one. It's my boy.
Oh, I don't know.
De Los Santos.
Oh.
No, I mean career.
Career. I thought you meant a game.
Not for the Guardian, like not for Cleveland.
Yeah, not for the
Guardian. Oh, never mind. No. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Career.
Okay, well then. Okay. He threw one pitch, huh?
Yeah.
Say that question again.
Yeah, this pitcher threw one pitch in a major league stadium and had a 2 WAR.
Pitcher. So this isn't like a position player coming in to pitch.
No.
I really thought it was that De Los Santos pickoff move at against the Yankees when he threw the one pitch for the 2 outs. That was awesome. It's like I'm a jet.
Yeah, you love that.
I'll give you a hint. It happened at Yankee Stadium.
It did. Oh.
Yeah, his pitch happened at Yankee Stadium.
It's got to be like a triple play or something. An unassisted triple play by a pitcher?
It wasn't that.
I don't know how else you can get
Adam Miller.
Yeah.
Do you guys give up?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
It was George W. Bush.
Dude, I was gonna say that as a joke.
I saw someone post it and I was like, that's amazing. It's a great stat.
Dude, I was going to say that as a joke. I cannot believe I didn't throw it out there.
I wish you would have. That would be incredible.
I was gonna say George Bush just for the hell of it to be like, oh, I don't know, was it George Bush's first pitch? Damn it.
He had a 2 WAR.
That's beautiful.
I get it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That also went over my head for a second there.
Oh man, gosh. What we need to do is find a list of every guy who's ever pitched in MLB history who has a career 9.11 ERA.
That's actually probably pretty sortable, I would guess.
I was going to say, that's
that's
like 15 minutes on Baseball Reference, and you got that. Come on,
I'm gonna That's my new.
That's your new card collection, right there, buddy.
Oh yes. Oh my God.
You thought the Grim Reaper collection was
hijacking collection.
Oh gosh.
I'm gonna hijack these babies. Yeah. Yes. Instead of cop these cards. Yeah.
Steve's about to get canceled.
Oh my God. That's my homework for next week, is to find the career 9/11 pitchers.
please bust them out for us.
I will. I'll have an update for everybody next week. That's a great trivia question. Oh God. All right. Well, we've bitched and moaned for about an hour. We're going to do it again next week if things keep going this way. So join us in the bitching and moaning again next week. And catch us on social to bitch and moan some more at at Cal Penal Pod. And we'll do this all again next week.